Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
This is Mitchell Davis, host of Taste Matters. You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, December 17th. This is the 47th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is a very well-respected New York City restaurant general manager, and I will introduce him shortly. But first, as I do on every show, I will start with my PR tip, and then later we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to practice lagniappe. Now, I learned about this service style at one of my very first jobs after college when I was the office manager at Rock Bottom Brewery in Chicago. Rock Bottom defined lagniappe as that extra something special that is all the sweeter because it is unexpected. It could be a small gift, something that goes beyond one's expectations to make their experience more memorable. It's simple, yet powerful, and can be applied to any industry. Going that extra mile and doing more than what's expected, you will most likely brighten someone's day. So practice lagniappe when you can. That's my tip today. Now I'm very thrilled to have my guest here. It is Jeffrey Tascarella, the general manager of food and beverage at the Nomad in New York City. Jeffrey grew up in a food-loving Italian-American family, but truly developed a passion for fine dining while working at Michael White's Michelin-starred Fiamma. During the course of his career, he has been the wine director of Enoteca, maitre d' at the Mercer Kitchen, and a key player in the launch and expansion of Scarpetta. Most recently, Jeffrey was managing partner of the critically acclaimed Tenpenny restaurant in Midtown Manhattan. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm honored to have you here. So how did you get started in hospitality? Did you go to school in a culinary program?
No, like a lot of people in our industry, I came about it through kind of a roundabout way. I was studying political science in college, and I was obsessed with restaurants at the same time. And as I started working my way up through different places and becoming more passionate about food and wine and service, I had a realization one day that you could do this for your career. It's okay to like work in your hobby as your career, and that's all right. It's not just something you do on the side while you pay your bills. And when I realized that, I remember having a talk with my then girlfriend, now wife, and I said, I'm going to go for this as much as I can. And here I am. Just,
I think I had the same revelation too.
Did?
Yeah. No, it is cool because I think we're in a fun industry, and I don't think growing up maybe people tell you so much about this career, this industry.
No, my guidance counselor said, okay, you could be a teacher, a lawyer, or a doctor. I was like, I don't really like any of those three things. Yeah, it's fun. I can't picture myself being in an office. I get to meet people every day. I get to enjoy the finer things in life every day, and it's an awesome, awesome career.
So where did you go to school? Was it in New York?
I was in a rock band, and I went to SUNY Stony Brook to study political science, and I was mainly focused on playing music at the time and waiting tables to pay the bills, that sort of thing. And then the girlfriend I mentioned, who's now my wife, she lived in Manhattan. She was attending FIT, and I came to the city about her, and I remember one day walking up and down the street in Soho, and just got a job at Fiamma randomly. I just begged for a job there because I had dinner there the week prior. And they said, you have no experience, you have no business working here. And I was, please just give me a shot. And it was an incredible experience to work there.
So what position did you start at?
Oh, I was just a server. Not just a server. I was a server there. It was hard. it was crazy. But
serving is hard.
Serving is very hard. But it was Michael White's first restaurant mm-hmm. in New York. And to work alongside him every day. And he still is, but he was crazy passionate about the menu at the time. We had, you know, 9 specials a day. And the wine team was just... You know, it's constant education, and so I got to drink amazing wines and taste amazing food, and I was hooked, and that was that.
And when was that? What around what year?
2000.
Early.
3.
Okay.
2002, 2003.
Because all these restaurants I read in your bio are very, you know, they each have their own style, but they're awesome places. You know, they've. Tenpenny, I know, closed. Or no, actually, it's still open.
Yeah, it is still open. Yeah.
Okay. But you're not involved anymore. Okay, so how did you meet Daniel Hum and Will Guidara?
So while I was the general manager of Scarpetta in Manhattan, I was friends with Will's girlfriend at the time. And she, it's a funny story, actually. She brought him in for dinner to Scarpetta. And I was excited that he was there because I was a big fan of 11 Madison Park and everything that they were doing there. So I created this whole menu for them. And one of Scott Conant, an awesome chef and good friend, one of his signature dishes is baby goat. So I did this whole course with the tasting of goat. And when we brought it out, Will seemed disturbed by it. And I said, yeah, it's goat. It's not, you know, just like a normal steak or anything, but just try it. And he's like, no. He's like, we just got back from a field trip with our whole team where we were at Llewellyn goat farms upstate. He's like, so I've been petting and feeding baby goats all day. And he couldn't do it. But so we
that's too bad. So, the timing. Yeah,
so we hit it off pretty much right away and became friends, and we would always you know, if we could steal away for a pint or two after service and talk about what we were doing. And I was just honestly completely enamored about what they were doing at 11 Madison Park and about, you know, just everything they were doing, the creativity and the attention to detail. And just, I thought they were doing some revolutionary stuff. And I was just to joke around with him and say, you know, you're creating the 4-star restaurant for our generation. You know, we're both the same age. We're in our early 30s, mid 30s. And
young.
Yeah. And we always wanted to, I think we always wanted to do something together. So when it came to be that Will and Daniel were going to run the food and beverage operations at the Nomad Hotel, we went out, and he just laid it 3 days before I was about to go get married. And he said, hey, here's an opportunity. I would love for you to be a part of it. So I spent my entire honeymoon. I had fun on my honeymoon, but I spent a good portion of my honeymoon just kind of contemplating, because I was a partner in my old restaurant, and I said, but to work with Will and Daniel would be such an awesome opportunity. So I made the right decision, I think. And
I think so.
Yeah, we have fun every day. It's really cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, from having been to 11 Madison Park and also now since to the Nomad, but I would certainly want to grab an opportunity like that as well. They're very smart and just awesome people. They're good people.
They're good people. That's like the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of people that can cook tasty food, but it's a cliche, but it's a family over there. It's really a lot of fun, and we challenge each other, but we support each other, and it's a very rewarding place to be.
I would think so. So over your honeymoon, were you working on the conception with them? Like, how involved were you with the creation of the restaurant at the Nomad?
I'd say very involved. I was honored. You know, I was friends with Will, but I met Chef Daniel at the start of my tenure with them. So we became fast friends as well. I think we are on the same page on a lot of things. And like I said, I was honored to be a fan of what they were doing and then all of a sudden be thrust into it. And I think they have such great success because of their spirit of collaboration. That's the whole thing. So I was welcomed with open arms and okay, what ideas do you have? What are we going to do? And yeah, it was a lot of planning and a lot of debate, and it was an incredible experience because we got to create, I think, something pretty cool.
So what was the idea coming from? It wasn't going to be like 11 Madison Park.
No.
So what were they striving to do?
So 11 Madison Park is it's a tasting menu. You sit down and you kind of open yourself up to the restaurant saying, okay, we're going to do this for you. So we wanted to do an a la carte restaurant. And we wrestled with the fact that at 11 Madison Park, you have, you know, dinner there can be maybe 3, maybe 4 hours, and you have 4 hours to make a great connection with somebody or do something really special and personalized for them. And one of the biggest things we wrestled with was like, okay, so dinner at Nomad's going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours. So how do we take everything that we do at EMP and compress it in that quicker time frame? That was a big part of what we were thinking about. And also, you know, we're in a hotel. So sometimes people may come off of a red eye and just check in and be exhausted and just want to take a shower and just have a martini or something simple. You know, so you can't... People come to EMP as, like, that's the point. Like, I'm going to 11 Madison Park. Some people might be at Nomad, not for that. So trying to balance all those sorts of things. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you have a lot of components.
There's a lot of components.
Because you do, I'm assuming you do room service?
We do room service. We have 24-hour room service at the Nomad, and we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. So the restaurant's technically never closed. The a la carte seated restaurant is closed from, approximately 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. So it's a very short window that we're not serving people.
Yeah. It's a tough industry.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it's fun. I was looking back at this New York Times review that Pete Wells did, and he was talking about the Rolling Stones being this inspiration for the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Was that true?
Oh, that's 100%
okay.
True.
I figured Pete was right.
No, he's right. Music is a huge part of our company. Like I said, when I started waiting tables, I was playing in a rock band. I love music. Will loves music. Daniel loves music. Our whole company loves music. So there's this story that's become kind of a big part of who we are now at 11 Madison Park. When Daniel and Will first took over as the chef and general manager, they got a review, and the review said, the restaurant's great, but it needs a little bit more Miles Davis. And they were very confused by that statement. And they researched Miles Davis and came up with 11 words, 11 Madison Park, 11 words, that they found were most oft attributed to Miles. And that hangs in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's words like collaboration, which we talked about, and forward moving, endless reinvention. It's like big, big things in our company, for real. And then when it came time to open the Nomad, we said, well, it can't be Miles Davis again. It has to be something else. So we decided on the Rolling Stones because we love them. And mainly because the Nomad is, you know, it's loud and it's fun and it's crazy and it feels like a party. But under all that, it's intentional and it's deliberate. And the Rolling Stones, you know, they seem like they're just like, woo, crazy, running around doing drugs. But actually, they're very learned, precise musicians at the top of their game. So we thought that was a cool inspiration. So the 11 words that we came up with at Nomad are things like loose and alive, but also universal and glamorous. And then, because we had to, the last one is satisfaction. You just have to. It's kind of like forced.
Perfect. Yeah, and I'll note that was a 3-star review, which is, it was a great review.
Oh, yeah, we were honored.
Yeah, very, it was cool. Terrific. So what's changed since the conception? Because there was a chef change, correct?
Our chef de cuisine, so our current chef de cuisine is James Kent, who... Incredible. We're incredibly lucky to have him. He was at 11 Madison Park through the rise to 4 stars and 3 Michelin stars. He represented America in Bocuse d'Or, and now he's with us. That's great. What else has changed? Like I mentioned, you know, one of those words at EMP is endless reinvention. And one of the reasons I love the Nomad and love my job is we don't stop. We don't stop adding things, creating things, changing things. So I could talk about what's changed since we've opened, and it would be a very long list. And some of it's not business-based, to be totally honest. It's just because we like to
have fun.
We like to have fun and create things. So, you know, we had a second floor event space that is utilized a lot during the day by maybe large groups in the hotel for business meetings and stuff. And there was a few too many nights that it wasn't booked. And we're like, that's crazy. So we love music. So we opened up a jazz club up there one night a week, and we're going to relaunch that again in the spring.
You know, I want to go.
You're welcome to.
And I haven't been on the roof either.
The roof is a private event space. So
I have to do a private event
then. You have to. But the first year we opened, everybody books their events, you know, well in advance. So we didn't have any events. So we said, okay, let's open up a completely new tasting menu restaurant up there that celebrates summer. And that was great. And then the next year we changed it and changed the decor and started doing special events up there. So it's super fun. It doesn't stop. There's no point where it's just this daily grind where I feel like a lot of other places can fall into, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. We're going to take a little break here, so stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Jeffrey Tuscarello of The Nomad.
Hi there.
Hi there. Let's talk about The Nomad Bar.
Sure.
I did one of my solo dining experiences there. That's my little bit on the show.
How was it?
It was great. They really treated me very well and made me feel very comfortable. I think, you know, I was at a table because I wanted to get a seat at the bar. I thought I was early enough to, but I wasn't. So I sat at a table, but I had a great time.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
What do you want? Well, how did that? How did you decide to do the bar? And I'm assuming you were also involved in its process of development.
Yeah. I love the bar. I love bars. I love restaurants and bars. And the Nomad Bar was a very cool project because everybody involved in it got to build their dream bar. All those elements in there are like, it's kind of like a committee fantasy bar. We opened the Nomad, and the Nomad has multiple dining rooms and a lounge, basically, and the library and the bar. And the bar, super fortunate, became very popular and was really busy and started to kind of spill over into the dining room a bit. We were telling a lot of people no, because we were full, and we don't like telling people no. So the building just to the east of the Nomad became available, and we talked with our partners at the hotel, and we said this would be a great thing for us. So we were able to secure that building and build this new bar, and it was great. I said a bar needs to have booths. Like, I love a side booth that you could slide into, and we have great booths downstairs, and we have chicken pot pie, which I think is just what I would order if I was at, like, PJ Clark's on 3rd Avenue, you know? And we have that, and I'm super fortunate we get to work with Leo. Leo Robichek's our bar director for the company. And, you know, he and his team just crush it, as we say. And people really enjoy it. It's we're really lucky. It's very cool.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, I don't repeat restaurants that much because I'm always trying to try new places, but I've been to the Nomad several times. I've been to the bar. I look forward to going back because it's a special restaurant and it has such a good vibe. And the chicken for two I know has been talked about a lot, and I've had that. It's a great chicken for two. I mean, it's special.
It's really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's very popular. It's really good, though. I love it. I had a bite of it before I came here.
Lucky you.
But you said, you don't repeat restaurants too often, but you've come to the Nomad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big inspiration, looking back to the old, you know, the old grand hotels of New York City, where it was the place you went for breakfast, for your lunch meeting, for your lunch date, for your brunch date, for brunch with family, for fancy dinner, for casual dinner, for a drink, to sleep, to have a party. And that was a driving force in how we created the place. We wanted it to be a center of a new developing neighborhood and just like a meeting place. And it's incredible. We've been open for almost 3 years, and we have people that have been to the Nomad, you know, over 150 times already. It's like,
all right,
I'm
not close to that number.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But 3 or 4 is very good for me.
That's very good.
And I went to the masquerade ball you did this year. Let's talk about that. You guys are known for your parties.
We love parties.
Yeah. And from the 4-star, 3-star style restaurant, and then you do these 4-star parties. It was pretty incredible.
Thank you. I think it comes from 11 Madison Park through amazing parties. They throw these epic post-James Beard Award parties. And I think that came from a place where they were doing something just, you know, very, very dialed in. And they wanted to show, you know, who we are also. It's like we like to let our hair down and just have fun and dance and have drinks and be with our friends. And but then also we like doing stuff at, like, we'd like to get creative and do some fun things. So, EMP has its Derby party, and
mm-hmm.
we have the Masquerade, which takes place on Halloween. And I think that they're both perfect for what each restaurant is. EMP doing the Derby is just a perfect identity for it. And the Masquerade for the Nomad is just... The Nomad always, to me, felt like a game of Clue. Like, just all these little rooms with secret passages and stuff like that. And I feel like the Masquerade just fits in there so perfectly.
It does.
I love it.
I
love planning it. I love throwing it. It's so much fun. It's very cool.
You did an incredible job.
Thanks.
Just every room had its own personality, and between a champagne fountain and, I don't know, the spreads of food, it was incredible.
And then all the scary and weird stuff on the second floor.
The scary and weird stuff. I was more into the downstairs and the square, scary and weird stuff,
enough,
but...
Fair enough. And next year it'll be bigger. We're already planning some things for next year. So that's the fun part. Like, we just, you know, we're talking about these things year-round. And we started planning this year's masquerade party. We started planning in July and pretty actively. And so a lot of work goes into it. Incredible team. I have to give a shout-out. I hate to even use that term, shout-out. That's a terrible term. But we have our one of our special events managers, Jen Schumann, and she planned the masquerade party this year while she just had a newborn baby, and she just crushed it. So thank you, Jen, if you're listening.
Yeah, no, definitely give her a shout-out. I'll give a little shout-out just to your coat check service that evening.
Wow,
I walked in, and I know it's silly, but it was so organized.
Thank you. You know what's funny? People listening may be like, what is she talking about? That means so much. Like, coat check is the hardest thing
in
the world.
I'm telling you, I walked in. You guys had just, it was awesome.
12-course tasting menu, easy. Coat check, very hard. Very hard. I don't know why. Just is.
Well, you mastered it.
Thank you.
Okay, let me ask you my questions I had for my last guest. So last week I had on Karen Goodlad. She's the assistant professor in the hospitality management department at City Tech. Mm-hmm. So she had a couple questions. The first one is, what advice do you have for someone who is new to the restaurant industry and wishes to work in the front of the house?
Okay, so I think if you're going to work in the kitchen, I think that culinary school is super important. You know, so you have to learn all those basics. I think that if you want to work in the dining room, you can go to culinary school. That's very cool. I think also you should research where you want to work. You have to find a restaurant that inspires you, because it's really hard work. And when you're starting out, you know, the money's not great in the restaurant business, and you need to be passionate. So find that restaurant that you're passionate about and write a letter and say, hey, I just want to work for you guys, and why? And do a stage. Do an unpaid stage for not for months, but just do anything you can to get in there and learn. And my other piece of advice I'd say is try to do many different roles. You know, try to learn about beverage and learn about wine, learn about how the front door and guest relations works, and become a server and learn the finances. So, like, try to work at great restaurants in many different capacities as much as you can. And you have to be passionate about it. Do not just do this because it's just a job. It's not just a job. It's a whole thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was reading an article. It was an interview with you, and it said how you worked every position at EMP before opening the Nomad.
Yes, that was okay. Fun. Yeah.
So you're so, well, yeah, but was, that's your advice on that is. You're following your own advice.
So 11 Madison Park, you know, everybody comes up through the ranks. You start as a kitchen server, and then you move your way into the dining room more and more and more and more. And I was one of the first people, you know, as the general manager of the new restaurant, I was one of the first people to come from the outside at such a high level in the company. So we thought it was best for me to work through the ranks quickly. I don't mean to take away anything from anybody that's actually doing it. The amount of work and study that goes into it is it's incredible what those guys are doing there.
But, incredible. I had an amazing meal there last year.
It's to be clear, I don't really work at 11 Madison Park. I'm still a fan and amazed by what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of did the tourist through all the positions there. And I've been in this business for 15, 16, 17, whatever years. And, you know, I had fresh graduates from Cornell and Harvard being like, what are you doing, dude? Like, what are you doing here? And they just totally schooled me. It was incredible. It was a great experience. Very lovingly corrected me on pretty much everything I thought I knew. It was awesome.
Okay, so let me ask you her second question, and that's, what trends are you seeing in beverages? Who is involved in making decisions for your beverage offerings, and do servers have a say in what's moving and what's not?
What trends am I seeing in beverages? I think people are, at least at the Nomad, what I see on a day-to-day basis, I think people are a lot more accepting and they're there to see what we're offering, which I think we're very fortunate to have. I mentioned Leo and our cocktail program's incredible, and people like to see what he's up to. Our wine director, Thomas Pastasak, he's incredible, and he's sourcing very interesting wines. We're not just, you know, beating people over the head with expensive Burgundy and Bordeaux, but for example, he just finished a collaboration with a vineyard in the Finger Lakes, a region he's very passionate about, and we did two wines with them. We did a sparkling wine and a red wine that we're serving at the two restaurants. So I'm rambling a bit, but I feel like we're a little bit all over the place. We find stuff that we're into and we're passionate about, and we share it with our guests. We share it with our staff first and educate them and get them passionate about it, and then we share it with our guests. So I don't see so much coming the other way. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people come to see us and they're like, all right, what are you guys up to? And we say, we're really excited about this. We'd love to share it with you. And people are really receptive. So again, we're really fortunate to be in that situation. It's very cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take another break here and come back. We're going to do my speed round game and talk some industry news. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Hey, we're back. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is Jeffrey Tuscarella of The Nomad. And it's time for my speed round game. So, Jeffrey, I'm going to name two things and you just pick your preference.
Okay.
Okay. So, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Sunday eat in, every other day eat out.
That's fabulous.
It's cheating. I'm sorry.
No, it's fabulous. Wine, beer, or cocktail?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
Tasting menu.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Kentucky Derby or the Halloween masquerade?
Obviously the masquerade. Sorry, guys.
Clean shaven or beard?
Beard. That was one of my... I'm a very bad businessman in certain aspects when Will Gadara offered me the job to work at the Nomad. I didn't ask what he was going to pay me. I said, I notice everybody at EMP is clean shaven. I can't do that. And he was like, okay. So that was my career negotiation, is that I could have a beard. I'm silly.
You look good in a beard.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah. So there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Dessert.
Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Sorry, Roberta's Manhattan.
they'll be okay.
They'll be okay.
Great. You're fast. So let's talk some industry news. I have the New York Times today. Pete Wells didn't do a traditional one restaurant review.
That was like one of my favorite things ever. That slideshow and that was awesome. I love that. I think it should be like restaurant reviews on Wednesday mornings and like that every Friday.
Yeah, well, it was, so people know, he covered Queens, and it was called In Queens, Kimchi is Just the Start, and he explored Korean restaurants in Queens and mostly the Flushing area. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed to say I've never been out there.
You should. It's super transportive. I think Daniel Boulud had that great quote that he said the best eating in New York City is along the 7 train, or just
pick a stop and get off, and you're in a different country, or something to that effect. Yeah, I go to Flushing all the time. I go to Queens all the time. It's awesome. I'm not familiar with a lot of those restaurants that he referenced in his article, but I will definitely be checking them out soon. It sounded amazing.
Yeah, it did sound amazing. I thought it was interesting he noted how Koreans decide what they're going to eat, and then they choose a restaurant.
Yeah.
Based on what their specialty is. And he also noted it was a little tricky, like there was one place that had a duck on the awning, but they're really, that's not the place to get duck.
Get noodles at that one.
Yeah.
And the duck is actually on the place that's named after the noodles. And yeah. Yeah, confusing as hell, but that's part of the fun, right? Like just getting out and exploring. That's one of the reasons I think we're so lucky to live here, is we have the whole, a little microcosm of the world to go explore. It's very cool.
Yeah, and I mean... Thank you, Pete, for doing that research.
Thank you, Pete. That was an awesome article. Honestly, that was really cool.
Very cool. So Eater today also had a review out. Well, this was a little, it wasn't really that traditional either. So Ryan Sutton wrote about Cosme and six reasons why Cosme is one of New York City's most relevant restaurants. So have you been there?
Not yet. Very soon I plan on going.
I have been.
What'd you think?
I liked it. To be very honest, I wasn't blown away. I think it also had to do with expectations. You know, it has gotten a tremendous amount of hype. I mean, Ryan loved it. He gave it 3 stars and these six things he wrote about. I mean, it's the chef Enrique Alvera, who's known for Pujol in Mexico City. It's one of the best restaurants on many lists. I mean, he had this dessert we had, which was husk meringue with coarse corn mousse. Like, he called them in this article the corn whisper dessert. Like, I mean, that to me, I got that because I think it is something very unusual and different, and it was delicious. I didn't understand his comment, though, about it being a gorgeous space, because I would say the Nomad is a gorgeous space, but this, to me, was a little stark to me, but...
Nomad's the most risky, like, decorated. It's very decorated. I haven't been to the inside of the restaurant, but I think it's really interesting. You know, I think Alex Stupak started the conversation where it said, you know, why do we have this idea that Mexican food is just like a $2 taco? And I think that we're on this upward trend that, you know, Italian American food was kind of peasanty food, and you know, I can go to Del Posto tonight and it'll be pretty epic. So I think that the fact that we're accepting Mexican as this, like, you know, it's one of the world's great cuisines, and I think that their addition to that conversation is pretty awesome. But yeah, I'm super excited to go. I've just been super busy and haven't made it there. The chef's a friend of ours, and he's just an awesome guy. He's very cool and passionate, and I'm excited.
I've never met him, and I enjoyed my experience, and I want to go back. I think I'm going to give it a little time.
Yeah, I think you should always give restaurants a little bit of time.
No one gives it time anymore.
Nobody gives it time anymore.
Including myself. I mean, I'm a little... But even reviewers. I mean, this review just came out. It opened, like, I don't know, like 2 months ago?
Yeah, I'd say something like that. I mean, there's the great argument that if you're charging full price, it should be the full experience, you know? So I guess that's in the reviewer's defense of going to restaurants on day one. I do love when restaurants do like kind of like the preview menu, and they're very kind of upfront about it, because it is super challenging. At the Nomad, we were so fortunate to be opening up this huge property, and we got to practice for such a long time. When we opened to the public on the first day, it felt good, and I totally feel for restaurants that I know what it's like. You know, rent is running and payroll is running, and you are struggling to get open, and you have to get open and start to get some money in the coffers, and it's really hard. But hey, that's what it is.
Yeah, and they're doing a great job. The service actually was fabulous when I was there. They really took great care of us, and yeah, I totally am down for going back.
Yeah, I'm confident it'll be one of our, if it's not already, I don't know, I haven't been, but I think it'll be one of our great restaurants in the city. It's very cool.
Yes, it is. Okay, so, I don't know, maybe we have a little time to talk about this. Zagat did the year in NYC dining, they did hottest restaurants and trends, and they had you the bar, the Nomad Bar in there, because that was one of the trends you're talking about, and how Aldo Sam from La Bernardine opened his wine bar. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see you guys in there, and I think it was a trend with these higher end sort of bar restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, our bar just got it was very popular, you know. So when the opportunity came to expand upon it, you know, I always say when you open up a restaurant, like, the people are going to tell you what kind of restaurant it is. You know, you could sit at a desk and a computer and type out your menu and this is what I'm going to do, and then you open and then your guests tell you what you're going to do. That's what happens. So people liked our bar and they wanted a bar where we opened. So it was awesome that we had the opportunity to be able to give that to them. And yeah, it's great. I love a high-end bar. I think it's a bar with great service and great drinks is, I mean, what's better than that?
I assume you probably like a dive bar too.
I love a dive bar. I love a dive bar.
Oh, it's good. It's like restaurants. It's mm-hmm. good to have the fine dining, and it's good to have the more cheap eats.
Yeah. To be honest, just a whiskey and a beer at a dive bar with my friends is pretty special.
Great. Okay, we're going to take one more break here and come back. I'm going to do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and it's time for my solo dining experience of the week. Today's solo dining experience is I went to Bowery Meat Company. Now, here's the rundown. The location, First Street, just off Bowery in downtown Manhattan. The concept, a meat-centric restaurant with a diverse and market-driven menu. The chef and partner, Josh Capon and John McDonald. Why did I go? Because their Mercer Street Hospitality Group is known for its great restaurant concepts, and this was their latest. My experience? This past week, on our first snowy night of the season, I stopped in on the early side. I got a seat at the bar. Soon the place filled up, and I made friends with my barmate, who was a dear friend of Josh, who I also know from the industry. And it was a good time. What did I get? I got the broiled oysters with garlic, Romano cheese, breadcrumbs, and parsley, and the hand-cut steak tartare with grilled bread and baby romaine. And Josh brought me out a taste of his duck lasagna for two. My take? Well, let's start with that lasagna. It's delicious. It's a must-order, I'd say, if two people are there. And my appetizers were also terrific. They were very plump, rich oysters and very tasty tartare. The scene, sort of a manly holiday party crowd, and the space was warm and cozy despite its large size. I'd say it's perfect for meeting friends or co-workers for dinner and drinks. Interesting tidbit, Josh is a 5-time Burger Bash champion, and his meat supplier is Pat LaFrieda, who was episode number 8 guest of mine. Personal fun fact, I didn't order steak because I'm more of a fish lover, but maybe next time. The cost, $41, not including tax and tip. Would I go back? For sure. Website, BoweryMeatCompany.com. And I forgot to mention to you, Jeffrey, that one of my guests was Jono Pandolfi.
Jono, yeah.
Who did your
Yeah, Jono's a very skilled potter that did all of our mm-hmm. tableware at 11 Madison Park and the Nomad. And he's a trombone player, which you might not know, and a very cool guy.
So do you guys, like, have breakout sessions?
No. We haven't yet, but we talk about it. Could be fun. But yeah, Jono's great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He is. And yeah, and his plateware, dinnerware, it's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so it's time for the final question. So next show after the new year, I'm having on Carla Siegel. Now, she's the former brand creative director for the restaurants of Chef Daniel Ballou. Carla is now working as a branding, marketing, and communications consultant with a focus on the hospitality industry. So, do you have a question for her? Do you know her?
Yeah. How many years was she with them? 8?
She was with them for 8, yeah.
I would say after 8 years with Chef Daniel, what is the thing you're most proud about? What was your proudest accomplishment in that time with Chef? I think she's probably got a pretty good answer for that.
She probably does.
They've accomplished some cool stuff.
They really have. No, to work for Daniel Ballou, and she's really been behind his, you know, the creative elements of his branding. So it's a good question.
Yeah, he's a big inspiration for us. So very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, and happy holidays if I don't see you.
Yes. Ditto. I've been talking to Jeffrey Tescarella. He's the general manager at The Nomad. Their website is thenomadhotel.com. The general manager of food and beverage. I need to emphasize that.
Yeah.
Anyways. He's on Twitter at JTescarella. My Twitter is at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, at All Industry, and at Heritage_Radio. If you miss our live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org and on Stitcher and iTunes. Now, before I sign off, for the year, I would like to thank my engineer, Jack, for doing all the behind-the-scenes work for the show. I'd also like to thank Aaron Fairbanks and Allison Hamlin of Heritage Radio just for being awesome. I'd also like to thank all my guests who've made this first year so memorable and fabulous. And thanks to my listeners and supporters. I love having this platform on Heritage Radio Network to talk about industry with the best in the industry. I'll be back hosting and producing this show next year, starting on Wednesday, January 7th at 4 p.m. I'm Sherry Bayer, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday and a happy new year. Be well, and remember, it's all in the industry.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.